You may see Bloomington native Niall Arena with his clipboard at this Saturday's first Farmers Market here in Bloomington. Arena is gathering signatures to run as an independent for Bloomington mayor. In today's feature report, we'll hear from the Bloomington native about why he decided to throw his hat in the ring as an independent mayoral candidate.
This is WFHB News Director Wes Martin, and I am joined in our studios with Niall Arena. Niall, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
And you are an independent candidate running for Bloomington City Mayor.
Yes.
How and when did this happen?
I was interested in it even as early as like last fall, maybe October, November. But I went into Election Central because the paper was actually really good this year, the HT, about the deadline to file as a party candidate. So that's Libertarian, Republican,
right.
Democrat, Green Party, I guess probably too. But anything, and that was I think February 8th, and so I went in that week, early February, and just tried to get some more information. They explained to me that if you're running on a party ticket, you actually don't need signatures or anything like that. You just sort of have to file some paperwork. But since there was already a Democratic primary candidate,
right.
I thought that was probably not the way I was going to go. And I asked them, what the requirements exactly
for being or filing as an independent
yes,
or
as an independent okay. yeah and they explained that it's based on city size or population density. You need a certain amount of signatures, so it's less if you were running for city council. It's based kind of on the district, and so it varies a little bit. But for mayor, you need 509 signatures, and that's by July 15th, as I understand it.
Okay.
And that's because you're not a primary challenger. You're just trying to get on the ballot in November. I think, whatever that was, first week of February, I'd got the papers and hadn't really done a lot. I'm a busy guy. I work two jobs. I have, kind of two passion projects on top of that that are jobs and everything except for the money side
they
of things.
Pay less.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I hadn't done much, but then had made a little campaign ad just announcing my candidacy, knowing that the farmers market was coming up and I'd probably be out there with my clipboard and pen. And then after last week's news that kind of shook up the primary, I thought I would reach out and just let folks know that was coming, not really expecting much reaction. Like, okay, here's this guy and he's just trying to get on the ballot, but he's not on the ballot yet and everything. Great. And it really was sort of the expectation that it would go acknowledged, but maybe not blasted, but was really blown away by the response and got a chance to talk to some folks last week and talking to you today. So it's been exciting since, the kind of word got out, I guess, last week.
And why file for candidacy?
Oh, sure.
considering that Bloomington is a place where mayoral candidates have been Democrats,
yeah,
kind of as far back, and you are a townie, I am a townie.
Yes.
And so I guess one, why do this to yourself, right? File
yes, good
for
question.
A mayoral
yeah,
campaign
yeah.
And two, do you stand a chance?
Yeah. I was just sort of interested and inspired by a couple of different things. Larry Krasner, the current DA of Philly, he ran in the Democratic primary, so a little bit different. But he ran the Democratic primary and was sort of left. He had no prosecuting experience. He was just a defense attorney representing lower income folks who were getting, kind of these mandatory severe sentences. Pennsylvania puts away more black and brown folks than any other state kind of on the East Coast. Philadelphia jails more folks than any of the 10 largest cities in the U.S. And so, he was kind of running as this reform candidate, and he basically engaged a non-voting populace, otherwise maybe activists, in these other ways, but not necessarily, municipal city voters. And he won the Democratic primary. And then everyone laughed like, well, he's not going to become the DA. That means, the Republican candidate's going to win. And he took the election by, I think, about 75%. And this is in 2017. The story didn't get a lot of national coverage. I think also just because district attorney is not, the same thing maybe as Senate or Congress. It doesn't have this sort of, maybe national narrative you can attach to it. But I had kind of followed it. I used to live in Philly, just kind of out of interest, but also this kind of counter narrative to what we'd been seeing in 2017, especially the after aftermath of 2016's election, not just the presidential, but that we would one party in charge of all three branches of government. And so Krasner was really inspiring, that idea that maybe there are folks to engage with who feel like they're not being heard right now and not being listened to, and having a chance to just kind of have a dialogue. The other thing is David Byrne, the musician and, you know, artist and theatrical director and musical writer and all, he had a talk called Reasons to Be Cheerful. And this was also kind of in the aftermath of not just the elections, but also kind of the climate news becoming more and more dire, and the UN, you know, announcement of, you know, that look, we sort of have to have a, you know, World War II kind of, you know, economy mobilizing if we want to have not just a civilization, but a species, which is, you know, a nonpartisan and pretty worldly issue. That what does that have to do with local politics? Well, he kind of gave all these examples that, you know, if you're not seeing the change that you want, you know, protest is great and engagement is great, but if you can do more, that's so important. And, you know, seeing kind of the 2018 congressional election, not just what happened in the fall, but the folks who got primaried incumbents and won, you know, that's like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but you know, also the other freshmen in Congress, and seeing that, you know, maybe at this moment experience, you know, sort of in the political arena, no pun intended, isn't the only thing that's valuable. It's valuable, absolutely, but maybe it isn't the only thing. Just last night, we saw Chicago elect its first female mayor, its first female African-American mayor, and she has no elected. She's never had an elected office. She's held other roles and things like that, but she's not been an elected official previously. So it's just kind of an interesting time. And all that kind of in the soup, I try to be an engaged citizen as much as I can, both on the local level and also in national politics as much as I can stomach it. So I thought, well, you know, there are, I'm sure, smarter and better folks out there. But until I kind of see them tossing their hat in the race, maybe the best thing I can do is kind of get involved. And I guess the other piece of that is, you know, if it can be a sort of lynda.com or a YouTube how-to of how simple it really is as far as just the steps to at least make an attempt at a bid like this, that I feel like that's a good thing.
Are you dissatisfied with the Hamilton administration?
You know, I'm reluctant to kind of, you know, I don't want to sling mud or point fingers. I love Bloomington, is what I say. I wouldn't, you know, be running for mayor or for any office in a city I didn't like. That seems like a bad idea. But what I think is maybe missing, and what I've seen kind of change, and I've moved back and forth a little bit. I spent some time away in Chicago and Philadelphia and in New York for a little bit, in Indianapolis working, and returned in the fall of 2016. And just what I've seen is that it seems like what we're losing is quite a lot. And that if you love something, you kind of have to protect it. And what I'm seeing is not this idea of being reluctant to change or reluctant to growth in Bloomington, but reluctant to maybe praise lopsided growth and lopsided development and overdevelopment if it's at the sacrifice of institutions that maybe are pretty valuable, or to not see the infrastructure kind of being built as we're getting a lot of kind of vertical housing. And that's useful. It's not necessarily criticism of that. But if we're losing a music venue every 6 months, and the Players Pub just closed, and Yogi's closed, I think, you know, a year before that, we've lost the Rhinos Youth Center, at least for the moment. I know that, you know, there's been some talk that it's returned, but at least for the moment, it's not there. What I've seen is just a lot of talk about how the arts are important and about how attracting folks who are kind of out of that college age, but in, you know, kind of starting their careers, going into professional, you know, maybe settling down. There's not a lot of, I feel like, framework for that to work. It's wonderful to wish and want, but perhaps attention and effort needs to be paid to make kind of infrastructure and institutions out of these things. It's wonderful to have festivals. It's wonderful to have a Limestone Comedy Festival. But I am 30 years old. I work about 55 hours a week. If I can't afford to go to the Limestone Festival, I don't know if there's a lot of value in praising ourselves for bringing these things here, especially if they're there for only a week. Can we get more performing arts venues? Can we get more places that are affordable? Affordability of housing is really important, and it's a challenging issue. I know that City Council, you know, has been doing their best, and I think that there's no necessarily issue that isn't being considered right now, but the ways that they're being considered, I think, are maybe a little narrow. Affordability goes beyond housing, and it goes beyond what any one maybe structure or units of housing can have. Affordability is food, it's transportation, it's access to the arts, it's access to entertainment, it's restaurants, it's all of those things. It's also, you know, having a robust life outside of work and also having time for that. And if you're fretting so much about your bills and your rent, it sort of falls short, even if there are these kind of exciting things to do every couple months or so in Bloomington.
That was Niall Arena, who is gathering signatures to run as an independent candidate this fall for Bloomington mayor.